Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Genesis chapter 28, Jacob, you remember he was running away from Esau because Esau is going to try to kill him, so he decides to run away from him, and then he runs off to be with his uncle Laban, or rather Isaac sends him away. So chapter 28 begins like this. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take your wife from there, one of the daughters of Laban, your mother. Laban, your mother's brother, God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring, that you may take possession of the land of the sojourner that God gave to Abraham. Thus Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. We are at Genesis chapter 28, Genesis 28, verse 6. Genesis 28, verse 6. So I think we read that section already before last week. Genesis 28, verse 6. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he directed him, you must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and gone to Paddan Aram. So when Esau saw that the Canaanite women did not please Isaac, his father, Esau went to Ishmael and took as his wife, besides the wives he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. So let's see. So you've got Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac has Jacob and Esau. Ishmael has kids. And then Esau decides he wants to marry one of Ishmael's daughters. So.
Is that first cousin?
I'm not entirely. Because
through different moms,
but through the same father. So Esau's doing great. He's already got multiple wives at this point. And he's like, oh, this thing that Jacob's not supposed to do? Okay, well, I guess I can marry, I'll marry the Ishmaelites or whatever. It's just, you'll notice this is one of those sections in the Bible where people have multiple wives and it's not that God commanded it, but that they decided to do this on their own. This is not the Bible endorsing polygamy. This is the Bible describing what happens when polygamy happens. Throughout the Bible, whenever it happens, it doesn't end well. But I'm sure this is going to end really well for him. And all of his descendants aren't going to be a terror in the thorn in the side of Israel. All right. They're going to be called the Edomites, by the way. Verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and at the top it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you, your offspring, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and you will and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took a stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at first. And Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I will go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Then this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all of of all that you give to me, I will give a full tenth to you. All right, so that's Jacob, Jacob's ladder. Jacob has a dream. God reveals to him in a dream. So sometimes God talks to the people, to the prophets directly. Sometimes, like Moses and Abraham, they speak to God face to face. Sometimes there's dreams involved. Sometimes there's visions involved. Sometimes there's weird signs that have to be interpreted. So God communicates with his people in multiple ways. In this way, he revealed himself at the top of the ladder, at the top of the staircase, with the angels ascending and descending. All right, so chapter 29. Oh, yeah, real quick before this. Yeah, I would say in such a case like this, this is not that God decided to stick a ladder here and decided to just said, okay, angels, now start going up and down. But rather the idea is that this is a constant thing, that God is constantly sending the angels to go and take care of the people on earth. And this is, you hear about this later on, the concept of guardian angel and stuff like that, that he sends his holy angels to watch over you. So this is just Jacob is able to see what's always going on. This isn't that this is a one-time event, but this is a constant thing that God is in heaven looking over his people and sending his angels to minister. So just like Stephen is able to open his eyes and see with his own eyes what's really happening behind the veil, Jacob is also able to look and see what is actually going on. So we're not able to see what's going on, but there's a lot going on. It's similar to the transfiguration. If you remember, Jesus is standing before the people and he shows his glory to the people for just a moment. And they're so overwhelmed by it. But that's always there. It's just being veiled. It's just being hidden. But it's constantly, it's what's going on behind the scenes. All right, Genesis chapter 29. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. As he looked, he saw a well in a field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying behind or beside it. For out of that well the flocks were watered. The stone on the well's mouth was large. When the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep and put the stone back in its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob said to them, my brothers, where do you come from? They said, we are from Haran. He said to them, do you know of Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. He said to them, is it well with him? They said, it is well. And see, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. He said, behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go pasture them. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Jacob told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him a month. So that's a familiar saying if you remember Genesis. Your family. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you're my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? Then Laban had two daughters. The name of the older one was Leah, and the younger one was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form. I don't know what that means, her eyes were weak. Is she like cross-eyed or something? Or just like, I don't know, what her eyes were weak. But Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you, then I should give her to any other man, so stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed him but a few days because of the love that he had for her. Aww. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the places and made a feast. In the evening he took his daughter Leah, and he brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his female servant Zilpha to his daughter Leah to be her servant. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? What have you deceived me for? Or why have you deceived me?" Laban said, It is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." So Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. So Jacob went to Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years. Good grief. There's a lot of questions I have of like how, I mean, I guess, yeah, but at the same time, I'm not saying what Laban did was right, but Jacob did kind of try to do the exact same thing with Isaac and pretending to be Esau. Oh, how the turntables, or how the tables have turned. How the turntables indeed. There's a little bit of, I mean, it's messed up. It is messed up. But to be fair, what Jacob did was messed up too. So there is some irony in this. And of course, Laban wouldn't have known about the trick either. But yeah, imagine he's like, "Hey, I want to marry Rachel." 14 years later, okay, now you can marry her. It's like, oh, good grief. You can make a lot from the 7 years if you really want to. 7 years, you're gonna find that this isn't Genesis yet. You don't have any of the things given to Moses. Moses doesn't exist yet. You don't have any of these laws given to Moses where it's talking about every 7 years is a jubilee year and all this other stuff. But you'll know that throughout the Bible, seven is often used as kind of a time of completion or whatever. There's 7 days in the week, and then the week is complete. There's 7 years in the jubilee year. It's after those 7 years. After 7 years of seven, or seven sets of 7 years, the year after that, the 50th year, I believe, that's a jubilee year. Or it's every 7 years. I don't remember. That'll be in Exodus. Anyways, so you can draw that their understanding that seven is an important number. This is going to come up later. So once again, I reiterate, although Jacob took two wives, God never commanded him to do so. Now, you could debate over what should have happened here. Jacob, having been with Leah, should have taken her as his wife and should have been happy with her as his wife. That would have been his wife, and not maybe what he wanted, but what he was given. Instead, he kept fighting for what he really wanted, which was Rachel. It's complicated. Yeah, we'll keep going because, what was that? Oh, yeah, we'll keep going because this is only going to get more complicated. So yeah, he gets Leah after 7 years. He serves for seven more years. He gets Rachel. Let's see.
Happy household with two sisters who are both married. Like,
oh yeah. Well, everybody knows that sisters get along very well. If there's one group of people that never fight, it's two sisters, especially if they're both fighting over the same guy. That is all. I mean, out of all of the TV shows I've ever seen, when it's two sisters fighting over the same guy, they're gonna all get along just well, perfectly well. There's not gonna be any resentment at all because of Jacob saying, "Hey, oh man, you're the ugly one. Your eyes are weak. I wanted the other one instead, but I guess I'm gonna have to live with both of you. But I definitely love her more." That's not going to come into play at all later on. I mean, it worked so well when Abraham had two wives of his own, so or a wife, or Sarah and Hagar. Sarah and Hagar. Thank you. Yeah, it worked so well with them. So let's keep the family tradition of having multiple wives and sticking them in the same household.
Hagar wasn't actually a wife, right?
She wasn't. She was a servant. She was a concubine at Closeth. She was a servant of Sarah, so she wasn't even married. But he kept her in the house like a wife. And, yeah, that worked wonderfully. Chapter 31. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. Okay, so this is already going well.
Wait.
Chapter, yeah, oh. Oh, yeah, I see. Oh, okay. Oh, let me go back. Yeah, chapter 29, verse 31. Verse 30, he loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban for another 7 years. Verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So God has mercy on Leah. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And again she conceived and bore a son and said to him, now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons, and his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. So these individuals are going to be extremely important going forward. So you're already probably recognizing their names as the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Jacob, his name gets changed later on to Israel. This is where the 12 tribes come from. They come from the 12 sons. So here are these sons. This is so, now my husband will love me. He hates me. I keep bearing him children. But after all of these children, now maybe he'll love me. I'm like, ugh. This is like such the family dynamic here. Jerry Springer had not yet been invented, but it would have done numbers. Chapter 30. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children or I shall die. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Then he said, here is my servant Bilhah. Here is my servant Bilhah, go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her. It's not how it works. So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Rachel said, With mighty wrestlings, I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed, so I shall call his name Naphtali. Okay, first of all, that's not how it works. Second of all, this is sounding familiar again. This is sounding a whole lot like, hey, I can't bear children, Sarah says, so take my servant instead. I don't know if this is like a family thing or this is just how they tried to solve problems back then. But it doesn't work, and it doesn't work well. Okay. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, God's fortune has come. So she called his name Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for women shall have called me happy. So she called his name Asher. Okay, again, if you were thinking, well, Leah's the responsible one, no, this is obviously a family sickness that that they keep. You would think that they would learn, but no. And let it not be said that Jacob is let off the hook either. This guy at this point has 4 wives, and he was supposed to have 1. So this is kind of on, it's not like, oh, I couldn't help it, God. I just had 4 wives, and each of, you know, she wasn't having kids, so I had to have kids with, you know, I had to have another wife. And she stopped having kids, so I had to have another one. And the absolute audacity of him to yell at Rachel and say, how is it my fault you're not having children? God is the one who gives children. And then for him to then go and say, well, I have to have more children with other wives and stuff like that. Like, okay, what happened to the you trusting in God to give you children with the wife that is actually supposed to be your wife? So Jacob, he is, well, this is Jacob, the heel grabber. You remember, he's a sneaky guy to begin with. All right, let's keep going, because obviously all this behavior turns out perfectly well. Verse 14. In the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" Rachel said that he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. When Jacob came from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come into me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. Okay. This is continuing to just go just so well. This is how a marriage works. Like, hey, Rachel, Leah, what are you doing? And also, Jacob, what are you doing? What is your problem? Yeah. The wife comes up to the husband and says, "Hey, your other wife hired me. I paid her off so I can be your wife for tonight." Yikes. Okay, verse 19, and Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with great endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I've borne him six sons." So she called his name Zebulun. Then after she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. It doesn't say anything about her. That's messed up. Like, come on. This is your daughter. And it feels to me like this is a competition that Leah's having. She's like, "Oh, I'm going to have more children than Rachel." Okay.
She's trying to buy the love.
Yeah, after every single one, she's like, now God, now he will love me. If I have one more son, now he'll love, a daughter. Okay. which is a shame, because there's plenty, in the Bible, you've got plenty of times where somebody has a daughter and they really cherish their daughters too. So this is not like a society where it's like, daughters are gross. All right, verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel. God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, May the Lord add to me another son. Yes, that Joseph. All right, verse 25. So in spite of Jacob's stupidity, he actually does prosper. Verse 25, as soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it to you." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and that has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything if you will do this for me. I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep, every black lamb, and every spotted and speckled among the goats. And they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later." Yeah, Jacob is known for his honesty. "For my honesty will answer for me later, even when you come and look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the blacks among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But when Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and the female goats that were speckled and spotted, then every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons, and he had set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flocks. So he takes all these, so Laban's a great guy too. He takes all the sheep and the goats and stuff that Jacob is supposed to get, and he moves them out of the flock 3 days away, and says, "Okay, yeah, go ahead, go through my flock and take all the ones that are spotted and speckled and striped and everything like that." All right, verse 37, this is a weird story that you don't hear too often. "Then Jacob took fresh sticks out of a poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the whites of the sticks. He set the sticks that he peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the stripes. than all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants, male servants, camels, and donkeys. Okay, this is not a biology lesson of this is how you come up with sticks, with striped. This is a miracle thing. This is probably something he worked out with God. This is one of these areas where if you've got you know, the atheists criticizing the Bible and say, well, look at this. This is obviously just dumb because this isn't how it works. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of things in the Bible where that's not how it normally works. Normally, the Red Sea doesn't part in half. Kind of the point is that it's God taking care of Jacob. So Laban tries to trick Jacob out of his due wages because they agreed on a price. He says, this is what I'm going to pay you. He takes all of the flock that is supposed to go to Jacob and he hides it 3 days' journey away. And then Jacob would be left with basically nothing and Laban would get to keep his entire flock. So then Jacob, I assume, confers with God and figures out this plan and puts these sticks in front and basically makes a bunch of new speckled and striped and spotted lambs and goats and sheep and all this other stuff. And he does it specifically by picking out the strongest of the flock. So he doesn't just get the ones that happen to have a certain coloration. He specifically gets the best of the flock, the offspring of the best of the flock. So Jacob tries to take advantage here and does not succeed.
Laban,
yes, correct, yes,
so
thank
how
you.
Long is this? Not a, okay, we're leaving.
Yeah, it sounded like an over, yeah. It sounded like it was going to be like, we're going to leave right now, but no. So this must have taken a while. First of all, Laban takes all the goats that should go to Jacob and moves them 3 days' journey away. So that's at least 3 days. But then there's enough time for them to go and breed a bunch, for Jacob to breed a bunch of, livestock. So there weren't in any particular rush here, it seems. Yes. Okay, the next chapter is called Jacob Flees from Laban. there's a good two chapters ago it was Jacob Flees from Esau. All right, chapter 31. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all this wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers, and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So, yeah, Laban tries to trick Jacob and cheat him. Jacob gets the upper hand. Laban is angry. Again, wonderful family dynamic here. If you want to contrast this to other religions where you've got, like, Muhammad and everything he ever does and everything he ever says is perfect and righteous and wonderful, in here in the Bible, you've got the heroes of the Bible a lot of times are flawed is an understatement. There are thieves and murderers and adulterers. I mean, that's just David. But Solomon also has problems, and Abraham has problems, and Noah is a drunk, and Moses has anger problems, and Jacob is a sneak, and Laban is a cheat. And yeah, so, and God still uses them to wonderful, wonderful purpose. Did you have a question or comment? Okay. All right, chapter 31, verse 4. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was and said to them, I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength, that your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not permit him to harm me. If he said the spotted shall be your wages, and then all the flock bore spotted, and if he said the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I've lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see all the goats mate with your flocks are striped, spotted, and mottled. For I have seen that what Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and made a vow to me. Now go, arise from this land and return to the land of your kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. So Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels. He drove away all his livestock, all his property that he had gained, the livestock in his possession, and he acquired on Paddan Aram to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. So remember, at this point, he's been gone for decades. Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's Rachel stole her father's household goods. And Jacob tricked Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him that he intended to flee. Then he fled with all that he had, and he arose and crossed the Euphrates and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. When it was told of Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him for 7 days, following close after him in the hill country of Gilead. But God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream and said to him, "Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad." And Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban was with his kinsmen, pitched tents in the hill country of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You have tricked me and driven away my daughters and like captives of the sword." That's not what happened. "Why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me, so that I may have sent you away with mirth and song and tambourine and lyre? And why did you not permit me to kiss my sons and my daughters farewell? Now you have done foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' And now you have..." So he's doing a great job of following that instruction. "And now you have gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Interesting. Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I thought you would take your daughters from me by force. Anyone with whom you find your gods shall not live. In the presence of our kinsmen, point out what I have that is yours and take it." Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Okay, I misread something in verse 19. Laban had gone to shear sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods, not household goods. It's interesting that you can steal a god and put him in your pocket and leave. So Laban was not being a particularly faithful Yahwist, worshiper of Yahweh. He had, "You shall have no other gods" was not written down in stone yet. But the idea that there is only one God who created everything, this was already understood. So Laban is worshiping these pagan idols. Rachel decides to take him with her. And Jacob doesn't know this, so he says, "Go and kill whoever has stolen your tchotchkes." Verse 33, so Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent, in the tent of the two female servants, but he did not find them. And he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them in the camel saddle and sat on them. Laban felt all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the way of women is upon me." That's a phrase. So he searched, but did not find the household gods. Then Jacob became angry and berated Laban. Jacob said to Laban, "What is my offense? What is my sin that you hotly pursued me? For you have felt through all my goods, and you have and what have you found of your household goods? Set it before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us too. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, and I have not eaten the rams of your flocks. What was torn by wild beasts I did not bring to you, I bore the loss of it myself. From my hand you required it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. By day the heat consumed me, and the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I have served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been on my side, surely now you have sent me away empty-handed. God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." So Jacob is not happy. Then Laban answered and said to Jacob, "The daughters are my daughters, the children are my children, the flocks my flocks, and all that you see is mine. But what can I do this day for these my daughters and for their children whom they have born? Come now, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar, and Jacob said to his kinsmen, gather stones, and they took stones, and they made a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jegar Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me today. Therefore, they named it Galeed and Mizpah. For he said, the Lord watch between you and me. When we are out of one another's sight, if you oppress my daughters, if you take wives besides my daughters, although no one is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. And Laban said to Jacob, see this heap and the pillar which I have set between you and me. This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness, that I will not pass over this heap to you, and you will not pass over this heap and pillar to me to do harm. And the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. So Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac, and Jacob offered a sacrifice in the hill country and called his kinsmen to eat bread. They ate bread and spent the night in the hill country. Early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned home. Okay. Could have been a lot worse. There's a bit of arguing. They decide to say, okay, here's this pillar. I'm not going to come over on your side of the world and kill you. You're not going to come kill me. You're not going to take other wives, right? All right, you're not going to chase after me, that sort of thing. So they at least agree to get along through a covenant. And covenants aren't only made by God. Covenant is a contract that has a death sentence applied to it. That's why covenants are cut. Covenants are not written. But this is a very serious thing that they've set up between the two of them, that they're going to get along, that their offspring are going to get along. All right, I'm going to stop there because there's some really fun things in the next chapter, and I want to spend some time on them. Jacob goes back to Esau, and then Jacob wrestles with God, which I've got a bit to talk about there because it's a really fun story if you look at the details. But with that, let's close with the doxology.